and look at Matthew chapter 1, starting with the 18th verse. If you have your Bible, turn with me there. Otherwise, it'll be up on the screen. Verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone before us and were obedient to your will and were willing to take the risks and trust you. Father, we pray that this morning you would open our hearts and our minds to your word. Lord, I pray your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach, I might preach your truth to your people with your power through the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask your manifest presence here this morning, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. We pray this through the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Amen. Well, there's a lot going on in that little passage. In our Sunday school class for the last 7 weeks, we've been going through the Alliance core values. And those of you who went through the class, you should have one of these little bookmarks. And it has them listed out. It says, lost people matter to God. He wants them found. That's value number one. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. Value number two. Everything we have belongs to God. We are His stewards. Three. Four is, knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental to all true success. Five. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. Six. Is without empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish nothing. And the seventh, which we talked about this morning in Sunday school, was achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. Joseph took a faith-filled risk. See, how risky was it? He had a visit from an angel. He followed through on it. You know how many people have heard from God and not followed through? A lot more than have followed through. That much I will guarantee you. Because the ones who didn't follow through, we don't hear about. And even the ones that did follow through, quite often we don't hear about what they went through. What happened? Sometimes what happens is something that we wouldn't recognize as being the answer to God's prayer. For example, a woman dying of cancer. This morning we had the illustration of a couple of missionaries who gave their lives, 9 of them in Vietnam. 39 around the world, the Alliance has lost missionaries to violence. But when we look at what happened in Vietnam, following the death of those missionaries who had gone, they'd set calls to go. They took that faith-filled risk to go to someplace that was dangerous because that's where they knew God wanted them. And they lost their lives after being there just a year. What we found is that 30 years later, where there used to be 60,000 believers in the whole country, there's now well over a million. The testimony of the life of somebody who took a faith-filled risk impacted, those lives impacted that country of Vietnam. We have here the story of a man who took a faith-filled risk, and his faithfulness and following through on that has impacted the entire world. Can you think of anything more devastating to a husband than to find that your wife is with child and you know it ain't yours? I personally can't. Joseph had this very experience. According to law at that time, he could have had her stoned to death. It would have been legal. It would have been proper. It would have been the right thing to do. At least in that society and their beliefs. But he wasn't like that. He was just going to divorce her quietly, not going to put her up for shame or ridicule, not for any kind of punishment, just like, okay, we're done, we're quits. You know? He had the thought that he's being the better man, being gracious and merciful in his actions. Instead, while he's having this thought, he's visited by the angel and given a vision at night. And he's told that, yes, Mary's with child, but she's still a virgin. Whoa! Excuse me? She's with child, but it's of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and by the way, we want you to raise him. Because they say, we want you to give him the name Jesus. So he's to take the role of father, earthly father, to the child of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I would be scared to death. This is a risk. It's not like, all right, now I'm on easy street. I'm going to be... There was no promise of anything other than you're going to raise the one who will become the Savior of the world. That's why you're going to name him Jesus. Because he's going to save his people, be his people's salvation. Whoa. Joseph took the risk. And it changed the world. But before it changed the world, it changed his life. It turned his life upside down. Too close to the monitor, that's what I'm... You know, he had his thing going. Okay, he's a carpenter. He's set to get married. And he's going to raise his own family. And they're going to have their business. And he's got all his plans. All that just gets right out the window. Instead, he's told, your eldest son isn't yours. It's the Holy Spirit's. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. And that changed Joseph's life. You know, everybody focuses on Mary. Everybody focuses on John the Baptist. Those things. But what about Joseph? He was just an everyday dude. Just a guy, a working class guy. A carpenter. Yeah, if you go back far enough in the family tree, we got some kings back there. You go far enough in my family tree, you know what? I got people that came over right after the Mayflower. There's family that I have. I got one family group that says that, you know, General Artemus Ward, who was officially the first general of the Continental Army before George Washington. I'm descended of him. That's kind of like, yeah, so big deal. Well, that's kind of like Joseph and his descendant from David. You know, it's way back there. Yeah, you know how many other people are descended? We got a family reunion. We got 4,000 people show up. And that's the ones that show up. Big family. Because they all want to claim relationship there. So what does that mean? Nothing. Who was he? A poor guy, a working class guy, is now dropped in the middle of the most important event to come across the earth since creation. Since God breathed life into man, this is the single most important thing to happen. Because it's God coming back to life in flesh and blood. God coming to earth to live amongst us, to be the perfect sinless sacrifice so that our broken relationship with the Father can be restored. And this is all on the shoulders of some beginning carpenter from a small town around Galilee. Can you believe it? But he did. He listened to the call. God spoke to him, and he took that faith-filled risk. And because of that, we do celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we do celebrate Easter. Because if Joseph hadn't done that, that wouldn't have been Jesus. If Joseph had done something different other than follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, listening to the angels of God, and doing what it is that God had directed him to do, and accepting the changes in his life that came because of that, if he wouldn't have done that, that would not and could not have been the vein through which our salvation came. It would have had to come some other way. How would it have been? I don't know. But God required him, and Joseph stepped up to the plate. He took that faith-filled risk. And it did indeed change the world. He took one risk, and then he took another, and another. What are the risks that he take? Well, he didn't divorce her, brought her in, accepted her fully as his wife, and Jesus fully as his son to raise. Could you imagine if Jesus, instead of growing up in a loving household, had grown up in a household where he was abused? It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling. You think about these things. But God protected him. Protected Jesus and gave him to Joseph for care. And Joseph listened to the angel when the angel said, run off to Egypt because Herod is after his life. And he took Jesus, you know, packed up off to Egypt for a few years. No big deal. They didn't have buses. They didn't have cars. He was too poor to have a horse. Even though he had received some gifts, he ended up having to use those gifts which he was given to support his family down in Egypt. It's probably the only way he managed to pay the way out of there. Faith-filled risks. Joseph. We all know his name, but we all give him very, very little credit. But he took one of the largest faith-filled risks that I can imagine. And because of it, he did indeed change the world. And lest we think that that's only for special people. Only special people are called to take faith-filled risks. On the one hand, I'm going to say you're right. On the other hand, I'm going to say you're wrong. Yes, only special people. Only those who are loved of God are called to take faith-filled risks. Who does God love? Anybody? Everybody. So, it's kind of a large pool there, isn't it? Everybody is called to take a faith-filled risk. Not everybody does. Many never take a faith-filled risk and never come to know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior. Many who come to know Him as their Lord and Savior, that's the only risk they ever take. But others, they take that risk and they impact somebody's life. It may be something little. This morning in Sunday school, Alice had a perfect example of a small thing that is huge in her personal life. She's at work. In there, people tend to use language which is a little coarse. But her coworkers have come to recognize that they can't take the Lord's name in vain when Alice is there, because she'll call them for it. Say, don't do that. It's not because she's in a position of authority and power over them either that they don't, because she's not the boss. But she was in another meeting where she wasn't even somebody has any authority. She was like the bottom runner in the meeting. And they've got this big corporate motivational speaker coming in to tell them, this is how you're going to make things better here. And the guy's trying to emphasize, and Alice says, hold it, no. Can't say that. Please don't do that. Not for my sake, but for your sake, because God will hold you accountable for that. Now, you don't think that taking that faith-filled risk didn't change people's lives there? It was a small thing. It was just saying, don't take the Lord's name in vain. It's not good for you or anybody. You will be held accountable. Did it change the world? Maybe. We'll be able to tell in 100 or 1,000 years when we see the resulting ripples. We can look back now and see how what Joseph did change the world. A lot of times we can't. We can look back right now and we can see how the lives of those missionaries that were lost did change the world. 1 million believers in Vietnam. What is God calling you to do? What faith-filled risk is He asking you to take this Christmas? Is it just to say Merry Christmas? Some places that can be a risk. What is it that God is calling you to do? Take that faith-filled risk. Through the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Through asking God, God, what do you want? Listening when God speaks. See, that's a tough one. We don't always want to listen to God when He speaks. We want to hit Him up with our laundry list. Say, here's what I want for Christmas, God. God's not Santa Claus. Not even close. God is in control. All we have is His. And when He asks us to do something, we need to listen. And then we need to trust in Him that it will be best. Maybe even not best for us personally, but best for Him and His kingdom. Was it the best thing for Joseph personally to receive Jesus as his son? And I'm going to tell you the answer is no. Joseph didn't profit on this earth because of receiving that. In fact, there were quite a few people who kind of questioned about Joseph. They knew Mary was with child before those two were together. They're kind of, you don't think there was some talk behind Joseph's back? A little payback there, a little question. You don't think there was some question in Joseph's mind? Well, now what about my family business? You know, I'm raising Jesus up, but he's not even my son. Now he's going to, of my line, now he's going to be the one who's going to take over. And he raises him up as a carpenter, and then he turns out not even to take over the family business. He goes on with his, you know, real dad's family business. Saving the world. But it was in the best interest of the world. And really, ultimately, it wasn't Joseph's best interest. But it didn't appear that way. Those missionaries that lost their lives in Vietnam, it wasn't in their best interest. Hold it. What happened when they died? They're with God in heaven. I can't see a downside side to that. Yeah, so they didn't spend a few extra moments here on this earth. We who are here say, well, yeah, well, we miss them, but again, remember, in all of eternity, it's not even that much time. And God was able to use what they did by their taking their faith-filled risk. Plant seeds into water plants of faith in others that bore much fruit. Now each one of us is asked to take faith-filled risks each and every day. Just as Joseph was asked. You may or may not have a personal visitation from an angel. But you certainly will have the voice of God speak to your heart. I encourage you, take that faith-filled risk. Understanding and knowing that it will bring change. But I don't like change. Change is different. I like things this way. You know, it's Wednesday night. I get home at 10 o'clock right after we're done bagging bread, and I can watch Top Chef. That's what I do on Wednesday night. That's my night. I look forward to watching. Now you're telling me maybe something else is going to be on? Maybe I'm going to maybe even not watch Top Chef anymore because I took that risk? Yeah. That change might cause you not to watch Top Chef or whatever it is. Do that you want to do, that you are used to doing. Because taking that faithful risk brought change. Every parent knows that if you accept the change of having a baby in your life, you expect to change a lot of diapers. Not all change is pleasant. But it's necessary. So understand that taking a risk will bring change. And accept it. instead of fighting against it. I want to take the risk, but I don't want the change. We can't have that. We can only follow God and receive the blessings and the tasks that He has for us if we are willing to take both the risk and accept the change. We have to trust that He is in control and He's going to lead us through in the end for His glory. Remember, it's for His glory. We always are looking for, well, what's in it for me? What about me? We get our reward with Him. But first, we have to take that faith-filled risk. Just like Joseph did. Some 2,000 years ago, when Mary was with child, he listened to the Holy Spirit. He said, I will love her and keep her as my wife. I will raise him as my son, and I will love him as only a father can. And he took that faith-filled risk, and it changed the world. If you take the faith-filled risk that God has for you, you too may be used of God to change the world. It may look like nothing and insignificant to anybody else in this moment. But when we see the ripple effect, you will see how you impacted many more than you ever, ever thought or imagined possible. God can and will use you for His glory. But it requires you to take that faith-filled risk. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for those who went ahead of us and took the faith-filled risks. For each one who trusted You and then embraced the change that taking that risk brought. Lord, help us to listen to You and then to follow Your will. To take those faith-filled risks that You have before us. Lord, those risks that are according to Your will and Your purposes at Your direction. Not going willy-nilly in any direction and trying to claim it as being from You. But instead, listening closely to You and stepping out, taking the risk when You tell us to. Lord, help us to be faithful in this. That we, too, might be used by You to impact this world for the glory of Your name. And in that name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.